Hi, and welcome to the Beacon's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Jackie, and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new and not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except when the speaker is sharing. If you're looking for a home group, we would love to have you. Our business meetings are on the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 on Zoom. To sign up for membership and to be on our email list, please visit our website, which is posted in the chat. Our website has a lot of great information as well as recordings of our meetings. This noon step meeting of Boston Beacon Group is our home group is on the third Monday of the month, right after this meeting, and participation is encouraged. All are welcome to participate. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, and they will automatically split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:53, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I have asked Desiree to read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Jackie. Desiree, alcoholic. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to a belief that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Desiree. I really appreciate that. Today, we're going to hear a talk on steps four and five. Steps four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. We're going to focus on today on fear and sex. Welcome, please, Kurt Z from Redondo Beach, California. Kurt, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jackie. Kurt Z, alcoholic. I really appreciate the opportunity to come back and be a part of you guys. I see a lot of faces. I recognize John, Jerry, and you know, I was thinking about this. I was looking at, you know, fear and sex, and I'm like, how do I want to start this? And I had that kind of consideration yesterday. And then the first thing this morning, I get a phone call from a guy I've sponsored for years. And the phone call is generated by fear, total generated by fear. And I was like, sometimes I get impatient, you know, I'm like, you know, after 9 years, what do you, you know, like, aren't you getting the point here? And so what was that about? Well, what that was about was he was suffering from what wasn't happening. He was suffering from what wasn't happening. See, he's a victim of this delusion. And I say this a lot when I come on groups, because it was one of the most beneficial insights, is there's a real lack of interest of what's not happening anymore. My head is not generating a story based on past or future. That's not my perceptual reality. I pretty much live in the present, and that was all I ever wanted. That's why I drank. You give me a bottle of Grey Goose, preferably chilled, and let me have a couple shots off of it. And it looks like this. It's real simple. I'm connected. I'm not worrying about the bills. I'm not worrying about the kids. I'm not worrying about paying the rent. I'm totally connected. I'm present. It's a mimicked form of connection, but that's what it is. And that'll drive me to the end, you know? And until I got released from that, all I could do was try and manage and control it. And it was the same condition with fear. It was exactly the same condition with fear and self, this condition of self we talk about. So I guess where I'd want to start is, let me just start with another. I got a text from a guy. And he said, my name's so-and-so, and my sponsor gave me your name. I'm looking for a sponsor so I can redo my steps. I'm 3 years sober. Can we talk? Here's my response. Yes, we can chat. As far as redoing the steps, I would suggest doing the steps. We don't want to manage our life by a skillful means of managing with spiritual principles. Correction. Ego's interpretation of spiritual principles. So I did that for a while. It's very stage specific. Just like I came in here and I tried to manage and control drinking by going to meetings, getting a sponsor, working the steps. It was all a managing control. That's not what the book, you said step five. I'll read something out of the book. We made a personal inventory. What should we do about it? We've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our creator, and discover the obstacles in our path. Doesn't say anything about managing my life with spiritual principle. It's like I'm trying to access the power which will solve my problem, not so I can solve my problem. So, let me give you a picture. Here's the picture. So in the fear inventory, well, it kind of starts, it really starts. I mean, it's all connected to fear. I mean, you know, the primary emotion is, let's just use a psychological term, primary emotions, fear, secondary emotions, resentment, right? It's just a tiered system, right? You did it. Oh, no, you didn't do it. It's what you did. Oh, it's not that. No, it's what did her threaten or interfered with, which every time something's hurt, threatened, or interfered with, self-esteem, pocketbook, ambition, personal relationship, sex, da-da, it activates fear. And then I act out of that, which is fourth column stuff, right? So, and then it goes in, it says, we went back through our lives, nothing counted but thoroughness and honor. When we finished it, we considered care of the first thing apparent for the people, they wronged us. Well, I knew that all along. I've been looking through that lens for a long time. And then on the next page, it goes, notice that the word fear is bracketed along the difficulties Mr. Brown, Mr. Jones, the employer, his wife. Somehow, this short word touches every aspect of our life. Well, every aspect of my life was self-esteem, pocketbook, ambition, personal relationship, right? It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through. It's fear set in motion. Trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. I didn't do it. I was driven to do it. Just like I didn't choose to drink, I was driven to drink by an obsession and an allergy. I wasn't in control. See, I didn't know that when I came to AA. I thought I was making bad decisions. I had poor self-esteem. I thought I was a bad person. See, that was what I thought till I met you guys. And then you guys told me what the problem was. See, I didn't know what the problem was. I was asking all the wrong questions. So it says, sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. So look, you guys, this is all just my experience and opinion on this after being here for God knows how long. But, you know, how I see that is, and it makes total sense to me, is it's classed with stealing. See, it robs me from seeing with clarity, truthfully. It robs me. I'm seeing through a lens of intellect, ego, self, which is a mental condition. It's not a thing. I'm not a self. It's not me. It's conditioning, belief systems, old ideas, how I've been taught, what the world's telling me. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways is what defeated us. I'm the us part. The self's the condition. I'm not the condition. Driven. When we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, that is not a crisis I caused. That's a very self-centered way of viewing it. It's the imposition of this self I couldn't get rid of even by drinking. That's how I became alcoholics. That's how I crossed the line. Self-imposed. It was long before I started drinking. It was that sense of irritable, restless, discontentness. That sense of I don't fit, the world's out there and I'm here, that condition of separation. So I want to clarify that before we even get started. So we're talking about this lens I'm looking through, see? It robs me from seeing truthfully. It's the whole point of us, the information's not different here. It's the perception about the information that's different. That's how the big book says it. It says a different perception of the same environment. The information doesn't change. The way I see the information changes. The people don't change. The way I see the people change. What was done to me doesn't change. What I do with what was done to me changes. Okay? So that's, I'm kind of pointing in that direction. So let me throw the curveball. we got a tree. It's got a lot of leaves on it. Those are all the fears. They're all on the tree. I kept picking one leaf off the tree and focusing on that leaf, fear of financial insecurity, fear of not being liked, fear of thinking I know what you think, which is crazy. Yeah, I never know what you think. Really don't care anymore, but that's beside the point. So I didn't see the tree. I saw the leaves on the tree. I didn't see where those leaves were coming from. And one way we say it here is you're not writing fear inventory to find out about fear. You're writing fear inventory to see self-reliance. It's pointing to something, pointing. Self-reliance. How? What is that? How do I rely on self? For me, what I relied on was intellectual discourse, intellectual information, analytical information. And that formed a perceptual reality that I lived in. And it was generated by this condition of self. And when you're in that condition, it's like whack-a-mole. When somebody bumps into you, you react. There's no peace. The intellect has no idea what peace is. That's why it can't find it. It's why our thought life has to be on a higher plane. It's why we need to have these educational or sudden revelatory experiences that take us out of that perspective. So we see a new world comes into view. Things like this. I mean, it's all in the book. The information hasn't changed. But I didn't have eyes to see it because I was robbed from that view that only can be maintained on a daily basis. It's not guaranteed. I drank after 20 years. I guarantee it's not guaranteed. I'd worked the steps, I dotted the I's, I crossed the T's, I worked with people, I sponsored people, I was GSR, CSR, I ran meetings. I did all the things you're supposed to do around here. And that wasn't wrong. It was just the process of evolution and maturation towards wholeness. I mean, that's just how it was. You know, there's a great saying Mother Teresa says, you know, God can't fill hands that are full. So he empties them. It's how it works, not how I work it, the pattern of reality. And we all know that if we've been around here a while, we've gone through trials and tribulations, and most of us have learned from those tremendously. When I was surrendered, it was the best thing ever happened to me and the worst thing ever happened to me at the same time. And thank God I had a guy that could tell me what was happening. He could see beyond the veil. He even told me, he said, you're not going to understand what I'm telling you, but you will. You didn't do anything wrong by drinking it 20 years. You're just trying to connect to wholeness because you were not connected to wholeness in the program. You were acting like you were connected to wholeness. You were telling everybody how the steps work and doing all the stuff. But it wasn't a living, integrated system. So the fear is not fear. That's the curveball. And it's self-reliance. Well, what's that? Well, it kind of says it in We Agnostics. It says, without knowing it, you've been brought here by a certain kind of faith. Faith in that thought system. You had faith all along. Not a faith, faith, a dependence, a trust. And I trusted the God of reason. I did it drunk and I did it sober. And let me tell you, sober is a lot worse. Because you don't have an answer for it. It's faith in a thought that produces mental anxiety. Same phone call I got this morning from that guy. And the only reason I can see it is because I'm free from it. That's the only reason I can see it. I can't see it from being in it. It's just not possible. And that's what they're talking about when it says our fears fall from us. There's a sense of peace. There's a sense of gratitude. There's a sense of appreciation. There's a sense of connectedness. There's a sense of harmony. There's a sense of balance. There's a sense of we can look the world in the eye. All the promises are articulating that view. That's what they're articulating. That's not a belief system. That's a reality. You know, I had there was a guy that used to talk, and he said, how free do you want to be? You want relief or freedom? And I'm telling you, I want the freedom. And that experience of doing this on a daily basis is allowed that on a daily basis. And it takes the weight off, you guys. It really takes the weight off. So when I say it's faith in a thought system that produces mental anxiety, that's really what that fear, false evidence appearing real. It's generating. See, I have faith in this. What's the fear? Oh, I lost my job. What am I going to do? Oh my God, I'm going to be homeless. I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. See, it generates. It's like a snowball going down the hill. As it goes down, it starts out really small, little thought. And as it goes down the hill, it gets bigger and it picks up sticks and rocks and it picks up everything else. See, it produces its own confusion. And I'm sitting on the couch and nothing's even happened. See, this is the issue at hand. Now you stay in that state long enough, guarantee you'll drink. If you're an alcoholic, guaranteed. I watched it for 40 years in me and in others. It's a guarantee. That's the condition I want to be released from. That condition, relieve me of the bondage of self. Not self. The self can be there all at once. I just tell it, thanks for sharing, next. It's the bondage that's the problem. And that's why I say you're not the condition. We are so much bigger than that. We are so much bigger than that. The exact nature of the wrongs. When I did my fifth steps, I always talked about what I did. I never got to the nature of what I did. This is what I'm talking about. And it wasn't that I did it, it's that I was driven to do it and I didn't even know it. It's not like fault, it's not guilt, it's not shame. Those are all aspects of self. Why? I think one of the biggest parts of the big book, it says, we're a victim of a delusion. It starts with, we're a victim of a delusion. It doesn't sound like I'm in control. And what was helpful was to have somebody who had that clarity on the other side, sponsor, mentor, whatever you want to call it, who could mirror that back to me in a way that could go over my head and into my heart. And that's what we hear here, you know. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment and connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. First time I did that, I told a story about why I had the fear, which created another fear. Then I told another story about that fear. And then it was just an ongoing process. I kind of missed the point of where they were pointing. They said, we asked ourselves why we had them. And then they answered it. I missed that part. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed? I missed it. I just totally missed it. I got caught in the narrative and the story of what my head was telling me. Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us had great self-confidence, but self-confidence didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse, right? When self-confidence made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there's a better way. We think so, for we're now on a different basis. Question, am I? That's the question. Am I? Am I trusting my thinking? Am I trusting this higher thought life? Do I have a higher thought life? Am I trusting intuition? Do I even know what it is? Am I looking through the same lens? The basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We're in the world to play the role he assigns. Well, that was a hard one. I kept assigning my role. Just the extent that we do as we think he'd have us, we humbly rely on him. Does he enable us to match calamity with serenity? Am I being triggered all the time? Let me give you a real example. So 2 months ago, went in for a random scan, found a mass in my lung fast growing. I got 42% lung capacity because of emphysema. You wouldn't know it. Even the doctor said you wouldn't know it. He said, you're not on oxygen. I don't know how you do what you do, but you do it pretty well. So they found this mass in my lung. And Linda and I, when we found out about it, I could see her face. See, I saw the narrative. And the first thing I said was, honey, we're not doing that. And she was really amazed because she got freedom from it. It just came. She didn't create a story. She didn't get into fear. She didn't get into worry. And I had about 6 minutes with it, and I was done with it. And we just moved along, and we did what they said. And they were going to do some robotic surgery. And I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, you just respond accordingly. And to do the robotic surgery, they had to do another scan with smaller 1 millimeter slices. And they did the scan and they said, oh, it's really weird. We're not doing the surgery. I said, why not? And they said, well, that mass has shrunk by a few millimeters in less than a month. And so we're going to just monitor you for 3 months. But we're pretty sure, you know, it's not cancer or it wouldn't have shrunk. Now, I feel totally fine. Now, what would have happened if I would have been in fear, running around, doing and creating all this stuff that ain't happening? This is the difference. This is the difference. Match calamity with serenity. See, I'm blessed. Jeez, if I check out tomorrow, I'm way overpaid. I'm way overpaid. Way overpaid. Would it be fear of the unknown? I've said this before in meetings like this. No, it would not. You can't fear something you know nothing about. Your mind can create something to fear about something you know nothing about. What the fear might be would be losing control or the illusion of control of the known, which is my kids, my family. Life, that's what it would be. And I don't know, I don't think much about that because they ain't happened yet. This is all I ever wanted. This is why I drank in the first place. I didn't know that. I did not know. But the intent was dead on the money. What I mean by that is, the intent was dead on the money. I was looking for connection long before I knew I was looking for connection. It was deep down within me. It's just the way I looked. And that's based on what I was taught, how I believed, what people told me. And then when I came to you guys, and you guys said there are 12 spiritual principles that will transform your life. You know, I didn't believe you guys, but I stuck around here long enough. I made all the wrong choices to get to the right place. I'm a successful failure here. I am not a success. I'm a successful failure here. No mud, no lotus. That's what the Buddhists say. All inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding. It's all part of it. Drinking it 20 years, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but thank God it happened to me. And I know that that experience can be beneficial to somebody else who's done that. I've seen it. Because the guilt and the shame and the story that's going on in their heads after they come back is suicidal for some people. The problem is they're trying to kill the wrong self and they just don't know it. There's an old medicine man that says there are many types of death besides physical death. When we allow a part of us to die that doesn't serve us any longer, we can be reborn into a new and better way of living. So this is part of the deal here. So I think I'm pretty much, let's see, we got 3 minutes left, huh? What else do I want to say about this? We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it's the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. I just changed that a little bit. It's not a gender issue with me. I'd rather use spirit, great spirit. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. We ask Him to remove our fear, direct our attention to what He would have us be. Maybe I'll go on that for a little bit. So the being had tied right into 11. And I didn't know that. It was like the beginning of it. It tied into continue to watch for selfishness, dishonor, you know, like the 10th step. Didn't say continue to listen. Said continue to watch. If I'm listening, I'm in it. If I'm watching, I'm out of it. We entered the world of the spirit. See, they're telling you. What's the view look like? Well, they just gave you all the promises. That's what the view looks like. Your job's to grow in effectiveness and understanding of what? World of the spirit in the physical world. What's the manifestation of that? Service to other people. The effect of waking up is it wants to express itself into the world. It wants to give. It wants to create love, compassion, understanding. So when it says being, Koyas asked me one time, he said, what do you think that means? We ask God to direct our thinking, divorce from self-pity, dishonest, self-seeking motive. So for me, that's self-pity is the past. Dishonest is I don't see with clarity in the present moment because I'm seeing through an ego lens. Dishonest. I'm seeing not truthfully, intellectually. I'm seeing intellectually. And self-seeking is a future. So when I'm asking for this stuff to be removed, my thought life's on a higher plane. There's an intuitive sense. And then it says, before you begin, you consider your plans. And he said, what do you think your plans are? I said, well, I write a little list of everything I'm going to do. He said, that's not what they're talking about. Your plans are your corrective measures from the night before of how you're going to be. How are you going to be today? And right action will come out of right being. See, I had it backwards. I'm going to be more patient, more considerate, more kind, more tolerant. I'm not. Maybe the corrective measures is I always use this because it's one of my defects. I'm dismissive sometimes towards Linda. What's the corrective measures? I need to be more present. I need to listen more. I need to pay attention. See, how am I going to be? And the right action comes out of that. None of this is fear-based. This is how it manifests. This is what we're talking about here. This is an integrated way of living. And you guys gave me that. So I just want to say thanks. And that's all I got. Thanks.